Before we start, please note that the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Trampoline Media.
You are listening to Indian Teens Unfiltered,
a Trampoline Media podcast where teenagers across India
speak their mind about things that matter to them
and issues close to their heart.
Hello there, I'm your host Neha Jain. Welcome to a brand new episode of Indian Teens Unfiltered. Some love it, some hate it, some call it a necessary evil, while some don't think it's necessary at all. For most of us in India, our school has been the main source of our education and a fundamental part of our education system, right? But how successful has it been? Is our education system doing a good job? In fact, what does education even mean in today's times? There's a lot to talk about with our teenage guests today. Each of them have had very different experiences and have much to say about their education for sure.
Hi everyone, my name is Vineet Detha. I'm 17 years old and I'm from Jodhpur, Rajasthan.
Hi everyone, I am Shubhika Singh. I am 15 and I'm from Pink City, Jaipur.
Hi everyone, I am Srishti Tripathi, a 17-year-old girl from Bhubaneswar, Odisha.
Hello everybody, I am Deepraj Patil. I am from Dhule, Maharashtra and I am 18 years old.
So my first question to all of you, what does education mean to you?
So yes, education for me is anything that gives us the power or the knowledge to solve even real life problems and to help and achieve our goals and ambitions.
Education is basically understanding who you are and where you are. That is what education is.
Education is not only what we read from books or what we have to write in examinations. Education is everything which we learn every day from our surroundings, which helps us to do anything we do in life.
And what is the purpose of education according to you?
To make us ready for the future. When we are a child and in this teenage, we need to prepare for our future. But now I think education has been changed to make children ready for the exams.
Education should make us ready for the future. But going back in time when the Brahmacharya period, ancient India, children, mostly the boys, they were taught four different stages. There was this Brahmacharya stage in their life where they were taught about how to be and what to be. So education is not just about getting ready for the future, but also learning to live in the present.
So tell us a bit about the education that you have received so far. You know, about your school, the environment, etc.
I have studied in two different CBSE schools, starting from Patna. I studied my middle school there. It was a typical CBSE school with a lot of focus on extracurricular activities also. But when I moved to Bhubaneswar, it is also a CBSE school, but more academically inclined. And this is about my official education, formal education. But apart from that, the other things that I learn is from nature. I call myself Moon. That's my alter ego. And so basically, I love nature. I love sitting around my veranda and learn different things by observing.
I have studied in the same school from KG and next year I'll pass out in 12th. So I've studied in the same CBSE school. It's an English medium school and it had an appropriate balance between academic studies as well as co-curricular activities.
I have changed a lot of schools in my life. I have done my primary education from a CBSE school and we had co-curricular activities as well. But for 1 year, I shifted to a RBSE school, which is Rajasthan State Board School, and they had no kind of co-curricular activity, just academics, and that too just focusing on some fixed questions set by the teachers. Then again, I changed to a CBSE schools. Now we have co-curricular activities also and academics also.
Okay. And so Vineet, you were preparing for IIT G at one point of time, right? And but recently you shifted from science to humanities. Why is that?
So from the starting only, I had made my mind that I want to pursue humanities because I was good at it. But suddenly, I don't know, out of the blue, March ended, April ended, and in May I decided, no, I will change from humanities to science stream for IIT, JEE, or whether it being NDA. So like the whole purpose was to make, I don't know how to explain it, but I just wanted to do science and maths because my main aim was NDA. And in NDA, if you take science and maths, it would be beneficial. So then I studied science and maths for like 4 months. And then in that process, I just realized that I'm really not good at it. And neither am I able to grasp anything that is being taught. So again in November, thankfully, I got readmitted in my old back school and I took humanities again. So I think that the purpose for shifting was not fulfilled and neither was I satisfied with what I was studying.
You said that the purpose of shifting was not fulfilled, but I would like to say that since you changed your stream, you realize when you shifted to science, you realize that science is not your background. Not getting proper job satisfaction, doing something that you don't like, then it's better that you realize it at a younger stage. So I think the purpose of shifting was fulfilled. Let's be kind to each other and ourselves also.
That's true. Well said, Srishti. But do you think there's a lot of peer pressure or there's family pressure or even pressure from schools to sort of choose a certain path, maybe actually science more or less, but is there a lot of pressure that kids face when choosing their streams? Yeah, Shubhika.
Yes, I think we face a lot of pressure when we have to choose streams. And basically, if you are the perfect child, then you have to take science. If you are even more better, then you will choose both maths and biology. If that's not a situation, but you have to take like biology or maths, either of them, then it will be the best. If you don't want to do it, at a next level, there is commerce. Then do it and take CA exams. And that also, arts is not an option. Humanities is not an option. It's like, if you take humanities, you will be felt like you are worth nothing. That your parents and the society will, oh, you have taken humanities, you don't have to study a lot. And also that you cannot do anything in the future. There is no scope in humanities. Rather, humanities is such a vast subject. I also have humanities.
So did you face any pressure when you were choosing humanities?
Yes, I did face. My uncle was also here. So he appointed a career counselor and then it was there that in career counseling test also, I got that I am good at humanities and I should take humanities. But even the career counselor said that you should take commerce. Even if you are interested in humanities, if you cannot do science, then take commerce.
Oh, okay.
And all of my family members, including my uncle, my parents, all wanted me to take science. But if not science, then take commerce at least.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you withstood it, huh?
Yes, but it is very difficult because when you have so much of pressure, certain self-doubt also develops that am I taking the right decision? And then sometimes because most of the children are not able to handle it, so they just think they are not able to cope up with this pressure and they just tend to take science. Okay, I need to live up to the expectations of my family. And then they start preparing for the entrance exams and because they're not interested in it, then they try to find an escape from it. Showing the parents that they are studying, but they are actually not because they have no interest in it. So, and then they start to develop a guilt because their parents are spending a lot of money in the coaching classes right from grade 9, grade 8. And that is why a lot of teenagers are facing mental health issues currently.
Okay. Just to you, we've been wanting to say something.
I'd been very lucky. None of my parents or nobody ever pushed me to do something. But when I actually presented my thoughts that I wanted to pursue humanities, there were a lot of like backlash from everybody. But apart from that, getting into science stream was entirely my choice and nobody ever forced me into it. But apart from that, I'd like to mention the pressure starts when you're born. It starts when you go to school, and if your scoring good, then you have to take science. You have to. There's no other option. And that is being fed to us, spoon-fed to us since our very beginning. Like, I remember even in our 10th grade, there was a PTM conducted and my class teacher asked my parents, what has Srishti taken? And they said, she has taken science stream with computer science. And my class teacher was a little bit disappointed about how I didn't take up biology. And apart from that, right in 9th grade, I became associated with school cabinet and I also took part and I also got admitted into FITG for IIT JEE coaching and NTSC coaching. And it was a lot for me. It was too heavy. The coursework was very heavy. The schoolwork was very heavy. Apart from that, being in a student body, it was all confusing and I was in great dilemma. And I got into depression because of that, because I thought that I was wasting my parents' money. They pay lakhs. Despite all the scholarship that you get, you have to pay lakhs for your coaching. So I thought that I was draining my parents' money, that I was worthless, I was not worth anything. So it happens when you don't understand what you want to do and what you want to be, and others tell you that this is what you want to do, and you just take part in the rat race.
It's very tough. Deepraj, you want to say something about this?
Okay, so first of all, when I completed my 10th standard, though there was a lot of pressure, even my class teacher told me, my friends told me, basically everyone was taking science and only few were there who took commerce. Not even a few, it was actually based on their results. Who got less than 80% has to take commerce, who got more than that has to take science. So I got more than 80%, so I have to take science. Actually, that was the rule. But yeah, I told to everybody I'm taking science, including my parents. Textbooks were at home. But on the final day of filling the form, I filled off commerce because I wanted to do what I think. So till last day, everyone was thinking I took science. I was studying for science, but I actually took commerce.
Good. Good to know that you took your own decision. And are you happy with it?
Yeah, of course. I took commerce and I'm pursuing CA.
Okay.
Chartered accountancy.
Yeah, Vineet, you wanted to say something.
I just want to say that fortunately, neither of my parents nor my teachers didn't tell anything. But in spite of that, there is some pressure that goes in your mind only. Like both rightly quoted by both Srishti and Shubhika, that from the childhood itself, we are taught that what do you want to become? So there are only two options, doctor or engineer. And both of them can be pursued only by taking either science or maths.
Srishti, I mean, you spoke about the pressure and, that starts right from kindergarten. And I wanted to come back to that because you are also in the 90% group in your school, right? So what is it like?
So in 10th grade, I was enjoying January 11th, 2021, our school reopened after 11 months. And we were enjoying, we were having the time of our lives and it was all good. But one Sunday at 3 p.m., we got a message that the school, the classes have been divided into 10 groups. And group one is for students below 30% or say poor students, the weakest students of our batch. And group 10 was for the best students. And although I was in group 10, yet it was the most devastating thing I'd ever seen in my life. And the next day when I went to school, I thought I was quite nervous because, see, there were 33 students in our class from 95% and above, and I was one amongst them. So I went to the school, and generally I sit in the second last bench in my normal class. So I went and sat in the second last bench. Then I thought, what would the toppers think? What would the teachers think? So I shifted my position and sat in the third last bench because I wanted to do that, but I wanted to maintain my position. So I saw that the students are just like me, except the teachers' reactions and their expectations towards us increases manifolds, not just by a fraction, it increases manifolds. I remember I came to that group one particular day and a teacher was sitting there. She asked us whether we were from a particular section. Then when she knew that we were, she got really excited and she said that this is such a nice class. This has a very pious feeling, decent feeling. And I just remember thinking that this is not done. This is not how you treat students. I thought that because I had few of my friends in different, you know, different groups, I felt like what it must be for them. It doesn't sound good to me. Like, they made a group of all the 33 students and they, the name of the group was Achievers of Grade. So it felt really, we are the achievers right now. We'll achieve the marks, but in the future, you don't know who is going to achieve what. And then you'll regret. You'll regret calling yourself achievers when other students are earning more than you or living a better life. So don't take pride in earning a better mark, but earning better grades. That's what happens. Generally, the students are chilled out, but the teacher's expectation comes in between and the students become so arrogant and so flashy.
And tell me about your friends. Did they feel demotivated because they were in a particular section or something like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember, like, none of us would go to school, even if I was in group 10 and many of the students were. We would take breaks from school just because we would give the excuse that we want to study for boards, but it was not that. We didn't want to go to school because the surrounding was not good. We did not like that negative competition that the teachers were putting on us. And it's not just me. The students in, say, group 7, I had a friend in group 7, I had friends in group 6, group 5, they did not want to go to school, absolutely. It actually takes a toll on the students. Nobody thinks about their mental health. I personally took my puffy face to the teacher I loved the most and asked, "Ma'am, why are you doing this? What's the point?" Ma'am said, "This is what it is. That's how we create the toppers. That was the reason."
So the job is to create toppers. The job is not to create good citizens of the country and the world, right?
They think that toppers are the good citizens of the country. They are mistaken. Their job is to create toppers. Actually, what happens, you know, in our school, 10th and 12th students, those who get like 95% or 90% above, there's a banner in front of our school. So it is a very competitive school. There's a banner in front of our school and the school wants more number of students, the more prestige the school has. So yeah, that's what it wants to create. Banner, mm-hmm. Longer banner.
Unfortunate. And do you feel any pressure because of that, Srishti? Because of the class that you are in and everything?
When I used to enter the class, the students would intimidate me, but I knew that all of them were equally intimidated by each other. The teachers would intimidate me. I did not feel like I was good enough. That happens. Can you imagine, like, you have done all the things you can and you've scored 95% and above, still you're doubting yourself. What sort of environment is that? You're not getting confident. But also, if I'm looking at the positive side, I felt like it brought me more closer to the people in my group, because I genuinely thought that they could understand me. They were also going through the same problem, even though we did not speak out loud. So it brought me close to the students. It drove me away, far, far, far away from the teachers.
The thing is that ultimate goal of our curriculum is to get marks, isn't it? So what is the goal of a teacher? The teacher will always do that thing which is the ultimate end. So if our ultimate end is our final examinations, then they have to put in pressure. So the thing is, I don't think that it's fault of the teacher or it's fault of the student. I think that it's fault of the curriculum, because teachers would do what is being taught or what is being asked at the end, right?
We are taught various topics. For example, if we talk about Clean India, Green India, let's say, then we'll have to write an essay on it. When we'll write the essay, we'll go outside, we'll throw the wrapper, and then we'll get 100 marks because we wrote the essay correctly. That's what the current education system is all about. We have to write the essay not because we want Clean India, Green India. We have to do it and we have to learn the things because we have to get the marks. Because true, it will come in examination.
That's true. So Deepraj, how important has your school been in your learning and your education?
When I was in school till 5th standard, it was very annoying and I was in a lot of pressure at that time. So I didn't pay much attention in school, rather I focused on learning through other sources like internet and that all. And trust me, I learned more than Means I took 16 years to be in school, but still I learned more on internet.
Wow, can you tell us more about it? What have you learned on the internet?
I learned about electronics, I learned about space, I learned about coding, I learned about real estate, I learned about economics, I learned about accounting, I learned about computers, I learned about a lot of things.
Wow, and how did you learn about all of these things? Did you do any courses? Tell us about that.
Yeah, courses. Suppose I want to learn about real estate. That was a huge thing because I wanted to know about real estate because most of the millionaires are created by real estate. So I wanted to know about real estate. Mm-hmm. That time I searched what real estate actually is because I was just thinking that real estate is just owning a, let's say, a house or that thing. So when I searched about real estate, I came to know that it is a whole business of real estate, starting from construction to right way selling to it and then renting that property, whatever it is. So I came across a lot of people who are doing it. Then I got in touch with them. It increased my communication skills as well. Then there are a lot of platforms like Udemy and those are Skillshare who carry on these courses. So I did courses from them. And not mentioning the pirated courses as well, because I do a lot of them. As they are free, of course. So I do those. And the best thing I learned from it is socialization, because I came across a lot of people who helped me a lot. And they are real life teachers, I would say, because they are doing that thing in real world, because they are very updated. School is like, that's the main difference. If I learn same thing in school, they will just teach me one thing that this actually happens in real world. But you will understand in the real world, actually, it has changed. The rules have changed. The environment has changed. Actually, it is no more like that. The syllabus is too old to be seen. But when you learn from the real people, the real teachers, they will tell you, no, actually, this is the rule. This actually happens. These are banks and that all. Yeah, I came to know a lot about banks as well in courses. The whole economic, the macroeconomics thing. So it was a great achievement for me at that time. And same, I'm learning in CA as well. Nice. So I'm very happy because I have done it before. So I have to just revise it.
Nice. Yeah, actually, when you go look out for knowledge, when you're actually interested in it, it stays with you, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's important. What do you all think that the education for today's generation should be like? What is it that you want from your education today, which you're not getting?
I think whatever we are being taught, it should be practical. Little bit more practical, not theoretical, like writing essays and stuff. If we are doing something, then we should imbibe it. Like, teachers should actually teach us to imbibe it. I remember, like Deepraj also said, we are being taught things, but it's very hypocritical. Like, I remember I was in fourth or fifth grade, and I used to go by bus, and I sat behind a ma'am, and they used to teach us not to throw litter around here and there. And she herself threw a package outside the window. So that's what the knowledge and education should be more practical. I don't know about the curriculum. I like the curriculum, but it should be more practical. They should teach us what we actually need so that we actually find it interesting. Right now in 11th, I enjoy science more than I used to. Because we have all these chemistry and physics labs. Those are the most interesting periods. Nobody misses it. We can miss all the theoretical periods, but we don't want to miss the chemistry and physics practical periods. Right now, they have taken away all our games period, HPR periods. So there's no physical fitness period. So they're cutting out every practical things that are there in our lives and making it all theoretical and notes-based.
I just want to say that apart from curriculum, the moral education that we strictly need, and it is the need of the hour. We are seeing so many horrifying crimes around us, whether it being against women, whether it being again on the basis of caste, religion, creed. Like, there are so many sections that are being discriminated, and the root cause of all discrimination, all intolerance or anything is just not acceptable, not accepting anything. And that comes due to the lack of our moral education, right? We are all taught equality, and we have separate utensils for the people who clean, right? So that is what the thing is. You need to teach people morally. It's not that you can just write a chapter on freedom and then everyone will read it and pass in the examinations. No, that is not the thing. If you are being taught freedom, then try to give others freedom as well. right? And that is what we are seeing right now. We are seeing religious rights around the country. We are seeing caste rights around the country. We are seeing language barriers around the country. So I strictly believe that what I didn't get from formal education, others should get it. And the next generation, it is the need of the hour. Because if it isn't, then it is going to cause so much harm in the country. For example, when you say that you don't have moral education, we are all taught feminism, about feminism and all that stuff. And when you see a boy cry, you are just saying that don't cry like a girl, right? And I think that that is what the education hasn't taught us. And that is the need of the hour. Because we'll study books and we'll master everything. But if we don't have morals and we lack those basic levels of values inside ourselves, I don't think that we can go anywhere in life.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah, Deepraj.
Actually, I remembered a cool incident. I was in 7th standard that time. Our school had debate competition and the topic was who is superior, boys or girls. So, yeah.
Imagine.
That was the topic.
Those are the kind of debate topics for debating that you're having in school. Yeah. Very sad to hear that.
I was like, what can we debate on this?
Yeah,
yeah, talking about future education. I think the person who can learn thing, unlearn it and relearn it again for future, he's the most educated person in this whole world.
True. Shubhika, what do you feel?
I think there is a lot to add in our education system, because as we already discussed, that education is not just like reading the subjects that has been decided for everybody. Our education system, I think, is very old because it was focusing on retaining the information, on recalling everything. But now we have technology for it. We have computers. So we do not need to teach how to retain the information, but the information that you have. We have a lot of information out in Google, but how to implement and how to use that information. And also I need that there are various other topics in our country, like we are not teaching about sex education, we are not teaching about menstrual hygiene, we are not teaching about relationships, not just like relationships with everybody, like your parents, like your friends, love relationships, how to behave online, how to deal with bullying, how to deal with cyberbullying, everything. This is, I think, a very important part. Right now, like I am in my school, and social media being a very important platform in today's world, and all of us are using social media, which is also a good thing, because right now if you completely detach yourself from this digital world, you'll somewhere lack in knowledge, skill, confidence. So, but because the generation of our teachers and parents, with no fault of their own, they are not very accepting towards like using social media. In my school, I daily receive like a WhatsApp message, because we are online, so I receive some kinds of information like, do not use Instagram, it is bad for your health and everything like that. I think that would not stop any of us from using Instagram, rather, because it's a demand of the time. A lot of businesses are running on Instagram. A lot of startups, a lot of content creators are earning on Instagram. And after all, no platform is bad. So rather than stopping us from using it, we should focus on how to behave properly online. So there is a fault in the education system. Like, if we are doing something, we need some kinds of internships right from this age, because we have so much potential to do something beyond academics. Like, we can make teenagers do a lot of other jobs to make them volunteers. The government can make teenagers volunteers, give them some internships, give them some certificates. Right now, for the promotion of schools, the schools are using the numbers of marks, the percentage and the numbers of students who got selected in some kind of entrance exams. The day the schools will use that, this many internships our students have done, this many places our students have volunteered, and that would be the day when we'll say that now the practical education system has been implemented. There is no fault of teachers, because they actually are not so much exposed to technology. We are better than them in technology. Because of that, somewhere they're not able to teach us a lot of things. The teachers are of the generation of our parents. They do not know a lot of concepts. They do not know about the concept of, you know, comprehensive sexualities. They have a kind of taboo in their mind, which we people do not have because we have been exposed to social media and all these concepts. So I think we need younger teachers. It's not like a school is bad, a school cannot understand. We just need teachers who are young and more understanding and more aware.
I think before I move to the others, I think I'd like to comment on what you just said. Some very valid points you made there, Shubhika. But on the concept of like younger teachers, I would also like to add that here is where teacher training becomes very important. The older teachers bring a lot of experience, which is also very precious, you know, and very important. So let's not forget that. But I also feel that, yeah, maybe there should also be a lot of focus on teacher training.
Also, the fact that then younger people don't want to take up teaching jobs is one another thing. So that's something for another podcast maybe. But on what Vineet also said about moral education, so we have a different moral education book based on Dayanand Saraswati's complete life, and it's a good book. But since we had to give exams on that moral education thingy, so we could not take it more seriously. So if you want to impart moral education, if you want to actually teach the students this is right and this is wrong, then stop putting it in the curriculum. Stop just examining students on basis of those things. We stopped taking it seriously because we thought that this is an easy paper. We do not have to prepare much for it, so we never read the book. So rather than that, do counseling sessions where you actually talk to students, understand the emotions. And moral education actually is necessary, not just until 8th grade, not just until middle school. It's very necessary for high school students. That's where actual hate crimes start. That's where hate crimes begin.
Last night I saw one show. Basically, I would just not say name of it because we haven't been paid for advertising them. So in that show, they were... okay, so it was just like Shark Tank. So they used to give investments to new startups. It was about AI startup which would replace all the customer care services towards bot. Actually, a computer will talk instead of the people. So the kids were just 19 years old. They were three students. They are so young. One of them was in IIT, and the investors just asked them that if you are doing business, so how would you get time for studying? So they said, though. No, we have asked in our colleges that we will just come for examination. And one of those boys told that actually we know more than teachers this time. So just for that small reason, the whole four, five, six investors rejected to give them 1.5 crores of investment because of that single line. Okay, so actually their startup would have just changed the world, but just because that way people think. Yeah. And that whole episode is on YouTube. Anyone can see that.
Thank you. We'll definitely look out for it. One topic or one subject that you think should be there in an Indian school's curriculum. Yeah, Vineet.
I believe sex education.
Okay. Deepraj?
I believe moral values and finance.
Shubhika?
Yes, I completely agree. Sex education and also the education related to menstrual hygiene and health.
Srishti?
Completely agree with Deepraj. Finance education is a must. Apart from that, mental health education, because if you're mentally fit, then only you can, you know, survive for the long run.
Absolutely. Some brilliant answers from each of you. Thank you. Whether you guys get great marks in your exams or not, on this podcast episode, Anne and I pronounce that you've passed with flying colors. Thank you, guys. It was really, really lovely talking to all of you.
Indian Teens Unfiltered podcast has been created by Neha Jain and Anne Doshi from Tamplin Media. This episode was hosted by Neha Jain and audio edited by Prashanjit. Intro music by Kevin McLeod. This episode wouldn't have been possible without the support of our crowdfunding producers Michelle and Helen Kirhas and Sulin Doshi.
A big thank you to Harsh Thakru, Vivor Gupta, Tanya Chopra, Amit and Dipti Gupta, Geeta and Rohit Jain, and everyone else who generously contributed and helped sustain this podcast.